And in the course of the 11th century, the Christian kings became more and more effective in pushing back the Muslims. And in part, they could call upon their co-religionists in France and farther east to come in and serve with the noble princes of Spain. And there are a number of examples of this in the 11th century that proved extremely important as forming the background of the First Crusade. Perhaps sometime in either 1064 or 1073, either with Ferdinand I or Sancho II of Castile, French allies, French nobles, came in to capture a important city called Barbastro from Muslim hands and fought under a papal banner. And we only have a letter of this, which is fragmentary. We're not quite sure what's going on, but it seems that the Pope is offering indulgences to these Western Europeans coming to fight with their Spanish allies. And this climaxes with the capture of Toledo in 1085 by Alfonso VI, the same man who gets the bell back for St. James of Compostela. And with the capture of Toledo, Christian power is securely consolidated in central and northern Spain. It does provoke a counterattack. There is a fundamentalist movement that comes out of Morocco that tries to push back the Christian power. These are the so-called Almoravids. And in this counterattack, the next year, actually, in 1086, Alfonso suffers a severe defeat, although he holds on to Toledo. But in these wars, the colorful figure of Rodrigo Diaz of Bivar, the so-called Cid, emerges, who seizes the city of Valencia and later hands it over to Alfonso. Now, the Cid, or El Cid, as he's known by his Arab title, was probably nothing more than a freebooter. But by the 1080s, by the 1090s, the beginnings of a reconquista has emerged in Spain. Much of this was to be defined and sharpened in the period of the Crusades, so that a common tale that was told in Spain during the era of the Crusade is whenever Spanish knights were invited to fight in Outremer, they said, well, we are always on crusade in Spain. And for most Western Europeans, that was good enough. Let's turn to the third area, and that is the region of Sicily, which will reappear on a number of occasions in this course. And it's difficult to stress how important, to overstress how important that island was in the Mediterranean world. It was, without a doubt, one of the fairest and most prosperous of islands, boasting many cities, large Greek and Arabic populations, plantations. It also had all sorts of commercial crops. The majority of the population was probably Greek Orthodox, but the top echelons were Muslim. Palermo was one of the great cities of the Mediterranean, a great port. Now, the Normans, who invaded southern Italy and kicked the Byzantines out by 1071, as soon as they were having any kind of success in Italy, of course, they cast their covetous eyes to that rich island. And in a sense, this was logical because Robert Guiscard and his Normans were the successors to the Byzantine administration in Italy, so it was natural that they should look at Sicily next. Robert Guiscard himself was in no position to launch an attack into Sicily, but he handed it out, as is logical given these arrangements, to his brother Roger. And Roger, in 1061, landed in Sicily on the invitation of a local emir who was at loggerheads with his overlord in Tunis, and again intervened technically to support one Muslim dynasty against another in a civil war, and immediately went into business for himself. The Normans arrived, they fulfilled their contract, they weren't very numerous, only a couple of thousand at most. But what was important is these Normans arrived and claimed to be under a papal banner. They also very quickly got in contact with Pisa. The Pisan fleet cooperated with Roger at a number of these operations, proved extremely important. And the Normans showed their brilliance for the positional warfare of Western Europe I had described in an earlier lecture. They do exactly what you would expect of Western European. They set up castles. They begin to ravage the countryside, reduce the populations to submission, Greek and Muslim villages alike, and steadily are able to extend the range of their territory. It does provoke a Muslim reaction. There's efforts by the local emir to bring in an army from North Africa. The Normans rally and brilliantly defeat it.